Good morning, everyone. It's good seeing you again at such time frames. Welcome to our regular work session this October 29th, Tuesday, 2024 at 7 a.m. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Prus.
Here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Ms. Therrien.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Here.
Ms. Tidwell.
Here.
Mr. Marnie.
I'm here.
Mr. Wingstead.
Thank you, everyone. If you look at our agenda, item 2 was approved last night, so that is removed from the agenda, ordinance 6293. So we will go into ordinance 6294, which is ordinance amending the operating and capital budgets for the fourth time. Ms. Bell, would you please bring us through it?
Hey, good morning, council members and mayor. If you'll turn with me to page 2. When we discussed this ordinance last week, I mentioned there were a couple of changes that I needed to make, and those changes were made, and they were presented for first reading last night. So if you turn to page 2 of 7, you'll see the revenue. We have the appropriation, current appropriation of 42.0 million. It's pretty much the same. It's just a small decrease, even though there are multiple changes throughout many of the line items in the budget. But there's a slight decrease of $9,400. And if you go to total expenditures, you do see that we're starting with the 46.98 million. We're increasing it by 1.48 million. For a total of 48.47 million. And going down to the estimated unassigned fund balance, we're starting out with a fund balance of 15.1 million. With these changes, that would bring us to 13.6 million. And the two changes that we made from the last time you reviewed this ordinance was we added in the revenue for the Boys and Girls Club. The remaining year, we had the revenue up until September the 30th. We know that that will not occur, so we're adding in the rest from October to December. And the second change was increasing the $200,000 for temporary employees under Public Works. And those were the two changes since the last time we discussed.
Any questions for Margarita? Ms. Sprinkle?
So we are increasing the rent for Boys and Girls Club because they are not going to be doing the daycare. Is this showing us the entire year that we were going to give them a benefit, or is this part of a year? What's this number?
This is from October through December.
Because we were hoping for them to be operating by now?
Right, correct.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions for Margarita? Okay, let's move on to the next item. Jared, please come up. We're going to have a discussion and introduction of the Code Compliance and Safety Specialist. Welcome.
Good morning.
We hired you. You have a very good background. You also work with Christina on a multitude of things. And introduce yourself.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jared Zerbe. I was born and raised in Fairbanks. I've been here 40 of my 42 years on this planet. So I'm a local boy. Grew up this side of Esther, up on the hills behind Gold Hill Gas and whatnot back there. So, yeah, it's, Fairbanks has seeped into me. My adult life, I spent 23 years working at the two local Fred Meyer stores. Started pushing carts when I was 17, and over the course of those years, worked my way up into kind of the store-level assistant management roles, where I spent some years in the operational side of things like budgets, day-to-day operations, and focusing on safety as well. So that's a significant portion of my adult life, is working at the two local Fred Meyer stores. After that, I worked at the Renewable Energy System store over on Airport Way, working with, you know, solar and wind and things like that as their sales manager for a time. And then from there, decided, well, maybe it's, I don't know if it's midlife crisis or it's time for a fresh start, but looked for a different avenue of life. And that led me here. So I'm thankful for the opportunity and excited to work with the city on lowering costs and keeping the city the golden heart of Alaska.
Yesterday, I've had a couple conversations with Jared here in regards to his operational details on blighted properties and abated properties. And he understands very well every property is different. We try and engage with the citizen first in a good way. And that's already started happening. In a good way, it doesn't mean that it's a way that's going to rectify. But case in point, one of the properties that I used in the presentation on blighted properties, he's been in touch and with the family, and the owner does not live in Fairbanks anymore, resides outside under care of the family. So it made me start thinking. I talked to him about it, and what I'm putting together is we have a lot of people who want to volunteer. So working with Jared here, we're going to be putting together a volunteer task force of about three different groups of four or five that can go into places that have blighted issues but don't have the financial resources to clean it up like this one that we just talked about yesterday. So we're trying to make it so Jared has crews that can help homeowners when he reaches out to them. Much different than, okay, do this, or we come in and do it, and we put the bill on you. So we're trying to be as user-friendly to the citizens of Fairbanks as possible. We started that process. So little by little, bit by bit, he'll be putting the building blocks in place for abatement, working with our building department, our legal department, our public works department, city council. When Sue brought that, or John brought that piece of paper that had all the arrows with one person, Sue, he's it. So, and he'll be giving me monthly reports, and I'll be forwarding them to you. Any other questions for, yes, Sue? That's changing, and he has a list of them. So, you know, what we're looking at is we're looking at a whole list of properties, and then he gets in touch with them, you know, December, January, and February, with actions that are taking place in May. The snow's gone, get them cleaned up as much as we can in the summer before we have to take any legal action to force the issue. We're trying to be very nice and give as much assistance to the property owners as possible. Because what I'm finding out is no property is the same. A lot of mental health issues on this. But that doesn't stop us from helping the homeowner clean it up. Mr. Marty.
Does he report to you directly?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He's part of the mayor's office. Actually, his direct supervisor is the chief of staff. I am the direct supervisor of no one on purpose. So if anything goes wrong. Are there any other questions for Jared here? Just wanted to introduce him. And again, my philosophy is to the city council, this is an open building. Don't ever hesitate to go see him, say hello, see what he's doing, give him an idea. Simple as that. Yes, Ms. Sprinkle.
Where do you sit? Where's your office?
In risk management, next to Christine.
Okay. So down in the long,
down and about. Christy
hallway, sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, his only issue so far is that's in a bad way. Halloween. He's not brought out his inner Christina yet, so we got to work on him with that.
That takes time.
But he, it's available. It's available. Jared, thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it. Okay, next, discussion review of capital projects and cost to date. Margarita.
Okay. You should have before you a list of City of Fairbanks 2024 capital projects. What you have before you are based on the different types of projects that we have. And these are projects that you approved either through the budgeting process in 2024, or they are projects that carried over from the prior year because we had a, we either added it in the first budget amendment or we had an outstanding purchase order, which meant that we are still in contract. So what you have on the first column is the budget amount that was appropriated for each project. The second column is the actual amount paid to date. The third column where it says encumbrance, that means that we have an outstanding purchase order. We've contracted with someone either to purchase the item or to provide the service. And then you have the balance. What I tried to do was to put some notes on some of the projects. You'll see that some says state, you know, take for example, the mayor's contingency is there for emergencies. You'll see phase one complete is completed. And you may note that on this, take for example, the second project on the list of roof membrane replacement, it says phase one complete. And basically, you'll notice that there is a budget amendment to remove, to unappropriate the balance of those funds in this budget amendment. So there are some projects that we've completed and we're asking, we're going to roll the funds over back into this 2025 budget. You'll see that. But in most cases, you'll see that we have some that are in progress. You'll see that we are waiting for equipment. Take, for example, under Public Works equipment. I give that department kudos. They ordered that after the first budget amendment back in February. And so some of this equipment we've been actually waiting for since that time. And so I hope that gives you a feel for where we are with some of the projects. And if you turn to the back, the road maintenance might be slightly different. A fire department is another one that has completed all of their projects and they're waiting. Take, for example, if you go to fire, you'll see they're waiting for equipment. They have one that they're pending a grant decision, whether or not they'll use the $30,000 for matching funds. But they are another department that have completed all of their project. And under road maintenance, this is you'll see a different language, return to capital fund. That's what that means, return to capital fund, which means that they did not complete the project this year, but the funds will be returning to the capital fund and can be used for either maybe the same project next year or they have found other means, ways of addressing those issues. And then waiting for DOT requests, these are maintenance, these are agreements that we have with DOT that will provide matching funds. So it's just a matter of waiting for them to tell us when it's ready to go into the next phase and we have to provide the matching dollars. But I hope that helps to give you a feel for where we are with our projects. And Mr. Sanders and Mr. Carter are available if you have any questions on the ones that are in progress.
Mr. Ringstead, then Mr. Marnie.
Yeah, they're. I mean, it's basically done. They're waiting on the doors to get put in, and then they had to order them. They didn't have any that they could put in there, and then Public Works is finishing up the finishing up the floor. It looks great. If anybody wants to go check it out, you can check it out. It's night and day difference from what it was. The problem as you probably noticed with the earlier budget discussion is the Boys and Girls Club have pulled out of that arrangement.
So of the $154,000 that's left, does that include the cost then he still has to finish talking about?
Yes, that $154,000 would probably be used for the work that Public Works has to do, because you would purchase the flooring and things like that.
So of the as it returns to the capital fund, does that take place usually at the end of the year? We don't take action. It just automatically goes back at the year end, or how's that work?
It depends on how it's handled. In this particular case, on your budget amendment, you're seeing that I'm unappropriating funds. Mm-hmm. So that means that will go back into the capital fund at this point in time once that budget amendment is approved. But let's say that, take for example, there's a project I have on here for dispatch, the workstations upgrade. They're doing some trying to work with the configuration. That project is postponed. So there's no action from the council. So what happens at the end of the year, it goes back to to that department as unspent. And we would have to reappropriate the funds for that project.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't having another one of my questions. I wasn't aware we were spending $1.3 million. I'm assuming that's next door. Now that's going back into the capital.
Yes, it goes back into capital, but as assigned. Mm-hmm. For you to reappropriate it. But it's assigned funds, but it will go back to the capital fund. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Sprinkle, and then Ms. Therian.
So the fire training center that we talked about for upgrades, is that the third from the bottom? Is that what we're working on now?
Yes. Yep. And you see there's a big chunk of that that's already been encumbered. That's for most of the electronic work in there. The other big part is for, rather than, originally we were going to turn one of the rooms into a server room, and engineers were working on an RFP, and it was just going to take a really long time. And what we realized, what Christy actually found in another dispatch center that she toured, were these all-encompassed server boxes that have their own fire suppression, their own battery backups. The racks themselves have everything self-contained. So we had folks, come tell us which ones would be appropriate for in there, and we're just waiting on the quote on those, and I can get those purchased hopefully in the next couple weeks.
So that doesn't, okay, I gotcha. Mm-hmm. Can I ask about the Boys and Girls Club with regards to the actual child care? Who or how are we going to get that handled?
Right now, Margarita and the mayor and I are looking at, potentially an RFP or something. The Boys and Girls Club, they just ran into a staffing crisis with their licensed child care center in Anchorage, and they're in crisis mode, and they can't expand at this time. So they called me last week and officially, pulled out. So
now we look for a replacement. They'll have child care as a primary operative for people who work at the City of Fairbanks.
Does the high school here have a program that teaches? I used to do it when I was in high school, but they taught people how to be child care providers. Is that a thing anymore?
UAF has it, or CTC.
Ms. Sprinkle, in my high school days, I wasn't that good with that sort of stuff, so I would not know that now.
I'm throwing it to people who might know that.
Maybe Mr. Ringstead knows about that. Ms. Therian.
Yeah, I was just curious as to what the child care project is, so it's provide child care for our employees?
Yes, and the thing about it is with us being a government unit and having a child care on site, we're trying to get a discount on the child care, and then at the same time, I believe they can get a $5,000 tax credit on their taxes when they file because of for child care tax credit. So that's what the mission was, and Mr. Sanders figured it out with, we've always been looking at it, and Mr. Sanders figured out that actually we have Boys and Girls Club in here, and they do this, and they were gung-ho, ready to do it. We went through the contracts, did the build-out of the area. We had some setbacks construction-wise with contamination that we found, but we got through it, and by the time we got through it, the circumstances in the Anchorage office for the state of Alaska Boys and Girls Club personnel had changed, and so the program that we were going to be using was not available until that started last week. So now we're back to ground zero, looking for a provider.
And how many children were you going to be able to take?
30-ish.
Care of? Oh, that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ms. Brinkle, then Mr. Marnie.
It's just that I see phase one complete. I don't know how many phases there are. So where are we in terms of the group members? Is it phase two, phase three?
So when we initially presented that budget for the roof, we said it would be roof A. Mm. And then I believe we're looking at B and C. And we said we will address A. And then next year we would look at B and C.
Okay. I don't remember being told that. Okay. How about then Portland Lou? Where does, I mean, is it just put it in now and go?
Yeah, pretty much. So that one was supposed to, they told us that it would take 120 days for them to build it. It ended up taking closer to 8 months for it to get here. So we just kind of missed our window. But Bob did a lot of the, he had like the sewer lines and stuff ready this year. So next year, at the beginning of the season, we should be able to go in, you know, finish putting it in there. And it's, you know, sitting at Public Works right now. We just go slap it in place next to the UConn Quest building.
Mr. Marnie.
So this is more for Chief Cacaro. Have we heard anything about the fire truck we sent outside to get the, I believe it was the ladder or was broken?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
It's never coming back. No. Good morning, Council. I have not gotten an official update from that company in a long time. I will reach out to Jeremiah, public, not the other Jeremiah, and see if he's gotten any more word, but it's been radio silence. I think that project was kind of low-key more complicated than anyone really wanted to really think about it being. I know it'll come within the same price point. Now, this thing is going to take them a long time to rebuild that ladder on top of all the other I'm sure they have 50 brand new ladders they're trying to get out to customers, and this is probably on the to-do when you can list. But we'll get an update, and I'll send that out to Council.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll go to Finance Committee report. Margarita, again, this is the Margarita morning.
Before you have the minutes of the Finance Committee meeting on October the 24th. The first thing that the committee's members, we reviewed, we brought before you an Iowa Revitalization Program report. And so the committee reviewed that report to see if there was something maybe we can do in Fairbanks and to address blighted properties. And so we will explore this further. We kind of identified a program that we wanted to take a closer look that Iowa offers that we thought might fit our community, but we're taking a look at that. And in our next meeting in November, we'll explore it further. The committee members reviewed the reports as of September the 30th. The balance sheet ended with $15.1 million, We had revenues of $32.9 million and expenditures of $31.2 million. And the report is behind, and we'll cover that in a second. And then we had the cash flow report balance at $13.4 million. The committee members did review the 2024 fourth budget amendment. Some committee members expressed concerns about requests being after expenditures occurred, and I explained to them that the departments are not over budget, and that those are my projections until the end of the year, where I think if spending continues the way it is, these are my projections of what we would need by the end of the year. The committee members did request a copy of the 2025 budget, so at the next meeting they'll have the mayor's budget financial pages of that budget available for them. And they were also inquiring about the capital fund budget cycle, with some of the projects being multi-year and the budget is set for a year, and the reappropriation. They were reviewing the 2024 budget, and they saw how I was pulling it out and then I'm going to bring it back in. And so they wanted to kind of inquire looking at that particular cycle. And they'll meet again on Thursday, November the 21st at 7 a.m. So feel free to join us, Felix. You will miss.
I have a couple of questions in regards to the format of the Finance Committee.
Madam Clerk, we put together the Finance Committee by ordinance. And in the Finance Committee ordinance, we put that at five members.
Give me 1 second. I think it's two public members and two council members.
Yes. So if I change that by an ordinance to six members with three city council members, with that as a published meeting, that would not violate the Open Meetings Act?
Correct.
Well, guess what I'm going to do? And guess who I'm going to appoint? Okay, I know what I'm doing. Thank you.
I have a question.
Are there any questions for Margarita? Yes, Ms. Tidwell.
I'm looking at the...
Oh, I was getting to that. Yeah.
Okay. Should I wait?
Oh, it's up to
you. I'll give you my question now. Maybe I'll get to it. So okay. I'm looking at the public works over here. It says it's below target at 65%. Because of vacant permanent positions, why do we have on the other sheet adding an extra 400,000 if we're below target right now?
Okay, the way our accounts are structured when it comes to the temporary is on a second set, and you'll notice that the temporary budget is at 82%. So it's above our target. So we always usually keep the temporary budget on one line item within our budget. And so that line item is over budget, but you're correct in that our permanent, when we're looking at that line, is below budget.
So, you know, Mr. Cleaver.
Just to follow up on what Crystal was saying, could you not, since that's above the line, for salaries and wages, not below the line as far as expenditures go, could we not use the savings there to fund the temp hire?
Yes, you did that last year. When we looked at the bottom line, your temporary was over budget, and it was because your permanent was under budget, it was able to cover it. The reason why we're asking for the level that we're asking for is if we have a winter like 2021, where they had to bring in multiple staffing, we had a lot of rentals and things that occurred, then you would probably exceed. We would have to bring in those emergency funds, and there's a possibility that you can exceed that. So it's trying to make sure that that department has what they need under temporary, just in case.
Mr. Cleaworth.
Yeah, I follow. I mean, you can go either way, but you could use the emergency funds, but all we need is two meetings to do a budget amendment.
Yes.
And to replace those emergency funds, so either way would work, wouldn't it?
Well, it would have to be a declared emergency. Okay. We would have to have a declared emergency to tap into the $250,000. And in 21, it was declared an emergency. In that case, we could have tapped into the $250,000, but we have structured it. At that point in time, it wasn't structured the way it is with a statement within our budget amendment that we can tap into those funds. If there's a declared emergency at that time, that was not in our budget amendment. But it's just making sure that the department has what it needs if the weather turns south and not in a good way.
Mr. Ringstead.
Just the other day, our revenue on the second line there changes. One contract has not been applied.
Yes. FECC, we're waiting for one contract under FECC, and that's North Pole, City of North Pole.
So, and Christy and I work to pay on. Us?
Yes, to pay us.
For our services.
Yes.
Is that why do we not have a contract with them at this point?
We're resolving. I'm working with Christy, Ms. Meredith, to address where we are with that particular contract. The way the FECC does their contracts, they across years. It's from July through June for most of the agencies, with the exception of the City of North Pole. And so they're actually on a calendar year, but we don't start the process with them until July. So I'm not sure of the delay, but I know that Ms. Meredith is working on it.
This is not a new contract. This is just renewing contract.
Yes, that's renewing the contract. If we wanted to go back to the revenue section and go through it, as far as taxes, we're on target. The property taxes are 7.5%, and the sales taxes are within the budget. I'm just starting at the top in revenue. I know we've addressed a few of these items. For the most part, we're on target. There are some sales tax that are above the percentage, and that is room rental is almost at 100%, and we budgeted $4.4 million for that, and that is why you see a budget amendment for that line item. Regarding charges for services, as Mr. Ringstead asked the question, why was it below target? And our target is 75%. That's what I'm looking at, everything in relationship to that percentage. And we are waiting for one contract to finalize, and that's with the City of North Pole for dispatching services. You'll see intergovernmental exceeded the target. Our SEMP payment was at, we record that in January. We received that and recorded in January. So once that number comes into place, it puts us above. Under licenses and permits, we exceeded our target. Notice that business licenses are over the 100% mark. Those are due in February. Under fines and forfeitures, we are below target. A lot of time, it takes until we get that permanent fund garnishment for us to make that target. So, and that usually occurs in October and November. So, on interest and penalties, we're on target, even though it looks slightly low. Interest income is at 73.5. That makes up a big piece of that. Under other revenue, you'll see we have exceeded the target. We received the GVA capital rebate, and then we had some auction sales that were above the budgeted amount. So any questions on the revenue side?
Mr. Cleworth, and then Mr. Marnie.
For both you and Christy, if she can hear me. We talked briefly one time about the the contracts of all the users of the dispatch center? And how often do we look at adjusting those rates to reflect our increases?
We look at their, they adjust the rates during the, when they do the plan, and that's a five-year plan. When we use the expenditures within that plan, we use a projection that their cost and wages will increase by a certain percentage each year, so it's built into that plan. And I'll look to Ms. Meredith, but I believe that we are looking at that plan again. I want to say next year it's due for renewal.
Mr. Marney.
Where are tobacco taxes hidden in this?
Tobacco taxes in the under the taxes. And what I've been seeing with tobacco taxes is that it's coming in at 2.1. When we increased it from 8 to 20%, we anticipated that it would be at a 2.5, but it's coming in at 2.1. And it's one of those taxes like alcohol that we see an uptick in November and December. So right now it's at a 62%. But which is slightly less than what we would expect it to be at this time of year. But based on the increase that we did, however, we'll see what happens in November and December, because sometimes those, that's when it spikes. And it has not changed since the borough's changes came into place. So, and the pricing has not taken, it took a jump at one point in time, and then, but I haven't seen any increases on the pack of a cigarette. I've been watching those too.
Mr. Ringstead?
We noticed this on the Finance Committee. In our expense column, just about everything that we're below targets is because of vacant positions, positions we funded that didn't get filled. Which I think at this point is a significant amount of money in our budget, but we need to think about that as we go forward in our budget for the cycle.
Any other questions before we move on? Okay. Council member comments. We're going to start out with the lady who just got married, Valerie. Yeah, but last night we determined that you get to go on your honeymoon.
I can go.
Okay.
I don't have any comments other than have we ever thought of changing finance our work session to a Wednesday after a Monday night meeting, or is that?
You know, that's a great time. This right now is a great time to bring it up.
Yeah.
we'll take a look at that and we'll bring it back to you. Yeah,
okay.
It's a good idea. Ms. Tidwell, you're yawning, so we'll go to you next. Ms. Sprinkle?
I'm good, thank you.
Mr. Ringstead?
Time to move on.
Mr. Marney?
Thanks, Ms. Bell.
Mr. Clayworth?
Thank you, Mayor. Just one thing, not to beat a dead horse, but last night I was on the losing end of one issue, and that's fine, but we still need to define what mutual aid means. And I just would like to hear from staff their thoughts in the next week or something on how we are planning on doing that.
Good idea. My comments are, got done last night at 10:30, and we're here at 7 o'clock, and everyone was on time. We're a good working unit group. Pleasure to work with you. That's the good news. The bad news is I'll see you Thursday at 7 o'clock, and the coffee will be made for you. Next meeting is Tuesday, November 12th, unless it's maybe Wednesday the 13th. We're adjourned.
Our next meeting is Thursday morning.